Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo.
They were born under a bad sign. They are Son of Boogaloo. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, 8-Man Stanadu. Super happy to be with you. We're going to talk about our namesake today on Season 6, Son of Boogaloo. This one's Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo. Wow, there's so many rhymes going on here with the oohs. It's crazy, just like us. But I am joined by my friends, Jim Cotta.
Stan, you've been off the street too long. You've lost your edge.
Oh yeah, that's true. I gotta get back on there. I gotta make a decision between Paris or Boogaloo. I'm an idiot if I choose Boogaloo. And we got Nick Boxer.
Girls are whack.
Speaking of whack, we got Whack Jack Hall.
You guys are whack.
Everybody's whack, man. Whack.
The right answer to that is whack, like it's the most amazing insult ever.
All right. Well,
yeah, but the proper response is a dance-off.
Does the dance-off have to be like kind of quasi-fighting? Because that's what we got in this. Breaking two. It's about time. You know, I'm really happy that we did this movie because I'm happy that we're finally able to, you know, those of us who hadn't seen it are finally able to see it. And we're finally able to kind of get that little hint of the birth of Boogaloo, if you will. So Nick, tell us all about Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Well, you see, it's about these no good kids trying to foil our economy, standing in the way of progress and bringing jobs to the underserved communities of this great nation.
Wow, you sound like the establishment.
No, that's exactly what this movie is. A young girl and her two punk friends, or dance partners, like she likes to refer to them constantly, although I think there's something going on there. Try to save a youth center named Miracles from the evil land developers by putting on a big show. At the same time, she's slightly conflicted. And I say slightly because I never really buy that she, you know, wants to do anything else but this damn show. She's slightly conflicted that she has an offer to star in a big show in Paris, which I never quite understood because last time I checked, they don't really recruit dancers to go to Paris. I think Paris has come here, but
she's just that damn good.
She's just that damn good.
Straight from the core. Was the last time you looked 1984? Because maybe that's how it was then.
I don't know. There was a lot going on in this movie, man. There was
really?
A lot.
I think there was.
Man, I spent the last hour trying to remember what the evil gang's name was. There's an evil gang in this, by the way.
Electroshock therapy or whatever.
And for the life of me, I can't really figure out why they're evil or what their beef is with Electrical Boogaloo Boys. Oh no, they're Miracles. They're Miracles, the good guys, I guess.
Good guys. Miracles is the name of the community center that they're trying to save.
Yes, but our stars are a dance group, but they don't have a name, right?
You don't need a name when you're that cool.
That's right. Cool.
Now, when we talk about this film, are we going to exclude the Boogaloo moments and the WTFs that just come along with the musical?
Well, I think that's the big thing. This is a musical, so it does work under different rules.
Okay,
you know, it's got the you wouldn't say West Side Story is Boogaloo.
No.
Oh, but I might.
Maybe you could.
Their point.
You have the whole scene where the guy Turbo Shrimp, which actually is not his name in the film. His name in the film is Turbo, and I'm pretty sure they call him Shrimp a couple times, which is his real name.
Well, it's his real nickname, which is lovely.
Yeah. Boogaloo Shrimp. Now that right there, he
dances around the entire building, and I mean, I want to call it Boogaloo because it's fucking nuts. But at the same time, there's some artistic merit.
That is by far my favorite scene in the movie. Like, that is one of those scenes that I could easily, like, lop that out and be perfectly happy because it showed artistic vision, it showed talent, and it just showed, something that, yeah, as you talk about musicals, this is the kind of thing that you would see in a musical, in any good musical. And so I accept it as being, you know, a quality scene. There's other points in this movie that are maybe not quite in the same level.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out what that little housing unit was, because the boys obviously lived there.
Oh, boy.
It was like a treehouse or something. It was awesome. Yeah.
It was like they were living in a shack in the middle of a field with no bathroom or kitchen.
Tell the listeners, now you say when he's dancing around the house, I think you need to give a bit more of a word picture than that.
Okay. He dances up the wall, on the ceiling, on the skylight, which we can see through where we see the crane spinning the house, and back down the wall to the floor. Literally.
It is like Inception stole entirely from this film.
Yeah, it's really well timed out. Like, they did a good job with that. There's no like moments of shaky timing. No, that's well timed out.
Basically your entire cast is a choreographer.
Yeah,
you can pull something like that off.
Some of the dancing, the interaction as he's changing levels and everything, it's really amazing. Like, it was and really well done and very smooth. I mean, it was a fantastic scene.
It's the centerpiece of the film, and it's strange. It's not one of the two leads that's doing the scene either. It's our B plot lead, Turbo.
Yeah.
That scene just really works. I think for what was strange for me watching is that the movie's surprisingly wholesome.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially in comparison to some of the other movies like Wildside or Beat Street that came out at the same time. Seriously.
It's like a very special episode of Blossom. It's really wholesome. I mean, the plot of this revolves around trying to save a community center for underprivileged youth. It's like the Brady Bunch could have done this story.
And it's so weird because they have to, they're fighting the bad gang, but even the bad gang is not like, I mean, it's barely a story up until the end. Like, you could have easily written the bad gang out of it, and you wouldn't have known
That's just a callback to the original, where the bad gang was in it, and they played a slightly bigger role. So, you know.
So yeah, that's something that you don't get, I guess, if you don't watch the original.
Yeah, I had to, So of the four of us, who had seen the original film?
I saw it right beforehand.
Okay.
And there's quite a bit of continuity between the two of them. Quite a bit.
They're fairly close one after the other. Like,
yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Not only story wise, but I mean, basically, well, they just went right into this one when they saw the break-in.
Well, the end credits of the original Breaking say, "And be on the lookout soon." A voiceover: "The be on the lookout soon for the break into Electric Boogaloo, the dance that's sweeping the nation," or something. Now, I don't think there ever was a Electric Boogaloo. That part I don't know. Like, what the Electric Boogaloo is, if there was a dance, that in no way had anything to do with the film, which is a letdown, so maybe the continuity isn't that good between the two of them. But yeah, it's, yeah, it was, there's quite a bit. Quite a few characters come back, and cameos come back as well, like Ice-T. You know, as in both.
Is he in the original? Oh, that's great.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's even less famous. Ice-T is just the DJ. You know, when they're dancing in the club against the evil gang, he's just rapping and they're dancing and yeah. So he doesn't even get his name mentioned.
But I'm this one. Far more interested in the third one though, rapping featuring
Ice-T. Also with Ice-T. Yeah.
Yeah. But nice. But when I happen to look here and see the title, the like I think other title to Rappin', Breakdance 3 Electric Boogaloo. that's Boogaloo.
That hardly sounds like a real thing.
Yeah, I'm like,
I find that really hard to believe.
You're making
shit. No, I'm sure that was the title like in an Asian market or something where you know the translation is just a little off.
That's all I have to go on is Wikipedia in this case. So yeah, will.
Because in my research I found that it was Breaking 3 Return to Boogaloo was the title. That's what I had heard or understood it to be. So
was that some like a planned sequel or
No, I think it's like a fan film, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay. There are quite a few of those out there, yeah. That they're not worried about the canon lawyers getting on them, I guess. Whoever
writes
Breaking.
Well, Rappin has Mario Van Peebles, so that's not a fan film.
But is it a sequel to Breaking? Is the
well? Okay,
it exists, but
I mean, this says the film is a sequel to Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo, and is also known as Breakdance 3 Electric Boogaloo.
Oh man! So, okay.
I mean, but the plot is unconnected, so you know, I mean, who knows.
The plot is not what's important.
No, it's a canon Red movie. Bear. With Golan and Globus attached to it. So, yeah, there you go.
I'm now looking this up because this is crazy.
All right, well, let's talk about something else while you're looking things up. So, I have some serious questions about the overall plot of this film. Okay, so
plot?
We have the community center. Yeah, of course. So it was taken from a Partridge Family episode, but we have a plot. Yeah. So we have the community center. We have the underprivileged youth. They're all. It's the neighborhood get together. It's keeping kids off drugs. It's doing all these important things that Different Strokes would tell you are really important. And there's a developer who wants to come in and build a big super mall. So he needs to take out this is the perfect location. He says this over and over. It's the ideal location. So he needs to knock down the community center, and he's going to build this big scoping super mall. Now, with everything you know about malls, does a neighborhood like this seem like the place to put an upscale mall?
Well, I do believe that he said that soon enough the neighborhood's going to change over and it's going to become a different neighborhood.
Yeah, he did say that.
So
not to get involved in semantics, it's a shopping center.
Fair enough.
I imagined, like, just they're opening a Safeway, man. That's what I saw here.
But
well, they show you a model of it. So I mean, we could go back and look at the model and see what kind of place it's supposed to be. But so what?
You can't fit that model in that space, though.
No. He clearly would have had to demolish many other buildings around this.
Entire quarter of the city.
Yeah. That's it's clear that a huge chunk of this neighborhood. like not just the one building, like a large portion of the neighborhood has to disappear to make this model work. But that means that the subtext of this film is really about gentrification. I think there's a lot more working here than we're given a credit for. This is a social message that was far before its time.
Coincidentally, the same plot was used in Street Step Up Revolution, the fourth in the series.
Makes sense.
Yes. I mean, if you want to sit here and start listing all the places this plot was used, we're
going
to
be here for hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just mentioning it because it's rare that you get that plot and dance battles in the same movie.
I give you that. I give you that.
Too rare. Far too rare.
That's an homage right there.
No, I mean,
the weird ass movie this is.
There's a lot of weird.
Very strange movie, but like you say, it's a weird thing because it's a musical. Like the first one wasn't so much a musical. The first one's far more grounded in reality, and you know, and doesn't have the big dance scenes. Like the people that are dancing are the dancers, you know. And in this one, it's like nurses are dancing in the hospital and stuff like that. Like it's just it's bigger that way. But that's what turns it from yes being a movie that has kind of grounded, you know, to a full on musical where anything is possible in these things.
What was that whole point of the hospital in here? It has no effect on the movie whatsoever.
Nothing has any effect on the movie.
And that's so typical of musicals. You go back to the most famous of musicals, I mean, you can talk about like the big ones, like you know, Singing in the Rain and stuff like that. And they have these scenes that, taken by themselves, are just totally unconnected, seemingly, to the rest of the movie. That it's just like, well, we need a dance number that seems like it's a cabaret dance number. How are we going to shoehorn this in?
Oh. When you start to look at it from that perspective, it's like, it's the rules change. Because in a musical, the plot isn't what's supposed to entertain you. The acting isn't what's supposed to entertain you. The dance and the music is what's supposed to entertain you.
That's right.
Oh, I'm sure glad the acting was not supposed to entertain you. Oh,
phew. Well, again,
we dodged a bullet on that one.
What's more important when you're casting this movie? Is it more important how well you can act or how well you can dance? Well, it's more important how well you can dance. And they got some fantastic dancers.
Yeah, I mean, that Shabadoo, he's really good. Like, they're really good dancers, no question about it.
But how you get a woman scene is particularly painful for the actor.
Well, yeah, of course, but I mean, it's so hard because that is a scene that I could very easily see transposed into, like, 20 years earlier into another type of movie musical that's How to Get a Woman. It just doesn't feature like an urban setting and breakdancing.
Kind of. And I apologize. You said Shabby-Doo. I meant to criticize Turbo Shrimp there. My bad. Shabby-Doo was one of the better actors in this movie.
Another thing that I probably really appreciated about this film is it's almost impossible to imagine a film that's more 80s. Like, the 80s just flies at you on this film. The hairstyles and the clothes and all of it. It's just so 80s. Oh, you know, in that cartoon way.
It is the first line I wrote down in my notes. The 80s are here.
Oh, yeah. The outfit the boys are wearing when Linson or Special K introduces them to their father are spectacular.
I love that. That's like a Fresh Prince of Bel Air kind of scene.
The fact that he's
basically dressed like they're like extras from a Michael Jackson video coming for dinner.
And the best part is when the father kicks them out and criticizes them for spending money on drugs and clothes.
Well, as we know, the rich
I sort of was with them there, man. Those clothes were insane. And obviously not cheap.
Yeah, especially all those raccoon tails or whatever the hell he was wearing. was like,
didn't mind that.
Had nine of those.
It was the Maitre D's jacket with all the embroidery that was that Turbo Shrimp was wearing that really impressed me.
I assume not they made all this themselves.
This movie's budget on hair gel was insane as well. Everybody has the wet look going on.
It's the 80s. Yeah.
Which was the fashion at the time.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, this is 1984, right? Like, that's bam, right, yeah, in there.
That's the way my hair looked like that, too.
Hair still looks like that.
It does. It does, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's there's a little more forehead than there used to be, but the Jerry curl still comes down.
Especially when you got to go out on the town and do and save your community center, then put the Jerry curl down and you're now, ready, Jack, to dance in the streets.
Watch the first one. Did anyone do a head spin in the first one?
Dude, that's all they do.
I love watching breakdancing head spin because so many people hurt themselves doing it. I just watched that. There were no head spins in Electric Boogaloo.
Yes, there was.
No, not completely upside down.
Yes, there was.
They got down on the ground and did their little spinny thing, but they did not actually do the head spin.
Are you sure?
I am. That's the only move I know. That's why I'm always watching it.
Well, I thought both films had it. So
who knows? I don't.
It's not something that's going out of my way to look at.
I don't remember it happening, but you know, I was admittedly like, you know, staring at walls occasionally too. So
I'm a little surprised that you're so down on this movie. I really enjoyed this.
Oh yeah.
Oh no. Don't get me wrong. It was fun. It was just stupid.
No, I meant Stan. Stan hasn't had a whole lot of love for this breakdancing extravaganza thus far.
To me, it was just, I guess as I was trying to watch it, it was just too much. I mean, too much breakdancing, really, for me. I got it. I understand what it was. It wasn't. I was expecting more Boogaloo. Like
I'm with you there. Like I think that was one of the surprising things for me.
Like, no, this was just
a sweet movie. Like, yeah. It's more Boogaloo than the original, but it's not Ninja 3 just because it has Lucinda Dickey in it. You know, it's not, that doesn't make it a, you know, it's a simple movie. So I don't know what else you would expect from it.
Special K was her name before there was a drug, correct? Or did they name the drug after her, or vice versa?
I think it was a cereal first.
The latter. Let's pretend it's the latter.
Yeah, let's just go with the latter. I agree.
That the cereal is just coincidental that there's a cereal that definitely named after her. So, Special K, also my rave nickname for K for Kata. I was thrilled to see Lucinda Dickey in you know, seeing the breadth of what she can do as a performer.
She's a hell of a
I mean, this is one of five films she appeared in. We have already talked about Ninja 3: The Domination, still the top dog for the Octagon. And I wrote here, Lucinda Dickey is back, but her bra isn't.
It never was.
She looked when she was doing the dance off against the evil gang in that green tank top. Good Lord, does she look good?
She does indeed. That's an excellent look. That kind of crisscrossy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like swim gear more than dancewear. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Oh,
and of course, this is the same director also, Sam Furstenberg as Ninja 3. So, you know.
Oh yeah, that's right. I mean, I guess it's one of those cases where you're like, wow, what? After directing directing Breakin' 2, what's really Ninja 3 next? You know, it's
so before we get to scoring, there's one more moment I want to talk about. So the very end of the film, Now, just like when the monkeys did this plot, they have a giant...
Else did this plot?
They have a giant performance. So they're going to raise the last of the money they need to save their community center. Just as an aside, I cannot figure out the timeline of this movie. They're told at the beginning of the film they have 30 days, and then they have they go to court, which at first they say isn't the end of the 30 days, and then seems to be the end of the 30 days, because like they're making a decision despite having given them 30 days, and then it seems like they got about a month more to work on this show that they're doing at the end. So I don't know, it's about 6 or 8 weeks.
Well, because I think what happens is the fact that they lose. They lose the court.
Yes, they lose the court thing. Yeah.
And so then they just decide, like, you know, fuck it, we're just gonna go for it and we're gonna do our damnedest to save it because we've got certain amounts of money anyways. And so they're just gonna do it, and then they wind up, you know, kind of forcing a change of the guy's mind, you know, as they're...
Yeah, in a strange twist, they beat the bad guy developer with about 10 minutes left of the film.
Yeah, because again, that just wasn't, that almost seemed like not part of it.
They still have to get the money to upgrade the place.
Yeah, to upgrade it becomes the true overarching villain of the piece, as opposed to the guy who's trying to bulldoze the thing.
So her dad, who has thrown her friends out of the house earlier, has criticized her work, not even proud of her when she's going to go to Paris to dance. He shows up at the end, and his heart has grown 3 sizes this day. and in my favorite moment of the entire film, he writes a check for the remainder that they need, something like $100,000, to tip them over the top so they can save the community center. Okay.
I thought it was 50. So, wow, we're doing great.
Yeah, he's a bunch of money. He's like, he needs a bunch of money, and he writes a check and hands it to her. And he says, "I'm proud of you, Kelly. I'm proud of all of you." Now, it felt in that moment like he was taking credit for everything they did. All these people he has never met.
And her parents are in no way in the first film. And she's her wealth. I mean, they're an incredibly wealthy family. In no way referenced in the first film, where she's just a struggling actress and dancer. So all this is, you know, and so that then they show up and they're so unnecessarily racist.
it was just casual racism, yeah.
Just like again. So many plot ideas, and instead of coming up with a full plot, they just go, let's just take a little here, a little here, a little here, a little here, until we get 80 minutes. Yeah. And then move on. By the way, you have to see this poster for this. I cannot give this...
the Breakin' 2 poster? Is it the sneaker one? Is that the one you're looking at?
No, it's not. It's a different one, and it's even more amazing.
We will have to share some of these out.
We have an Instagram. Where do they? Yeah. Let's just mention it now. That's where we have an Instagram. What is it?
It is Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Use hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and we'll we wanted to make it easy for people to find.
Yeah.
And
that's two oohs and boogaloo.
Two oohs.
Yeah, not together.
I just wanted to return to that last scene. Mm-hmm. What I found amazing about it was the newscaster / hype man for this this show.
Yeah, media was definitely very good.
Immediately, he is all in on this show. Having seen none of it, he's like, these kids are great. Just trying to say, no mention of the other side. No background research. It's just, these kids are dancing. Wow. Everybody should come down here and give them money.
He struck me as the kind of news announcer that's the kind of guy where it's the really local news station, the community news station, but he's just dressed a little nicer.
He's the hero of this piece. That's the only reason the parents came down and paid off all this money.
Yeah.
So really, it should be like newscaster ahoy, Electric Boogaloo. Nice.
See, this is why we need a free and independent media. Right here. This kind of story could not happen today.
No. Yeah. Even though this apparently was based on or inspired by real life events. So, I'm serious.
Oh my god! I love when the guy who runs the center gets the notice at the beginning of the film, and he says, "Hey, look at this jive letter I got today from City Hall."
I forgot that. That's fantastic.
Freaking awesome.
Oh my god. Well, by the way, I'm just gonna put it out there now. You know the song in this, Electric Boogaloo. You know what's going on the podcast. I know I'm gonna have to find it, I know. But it's gotta go on. Not Electric as good as the theme song to this, but it's pretty damn good.
Ooh.
All right. Why don't we go to scoring?
Right. Definitely time for scoring. All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate every film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category is called schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, I feel like this movie succeeds in being schlocky on two bases, and that would be the schlock of the 80s and the schlock of the musical. The unfortunate thing is that those schlocks don't necessarily add up. Like, those happen just based on every movie that was like that has the same kind of schlock. So I'm not necessarily going to score it high due to that. I'm only going to give it a 5.
Oh, wow. I think you're a little bit wrong there. So the schlock is high with this one. However, not traditional schlock. It has its own brand of musical schlock. And the reason I say this is I went to this film opening day.
What? That's fantastic.
Oh,
that's
so man.
I saw it in a mall.
Oh, amazing.
With my best girlfriend. Not my girlfriend, but my best friend who was a girl at that time. West Edmonton Mall, if you must know. Stop prying.
Oh.
Second largest mall in North America.
Yes. And I believe it was largest at that time.
You're Canadian?
I was just visiting.
Okay, good.
And it opened a week earlier.
Are you telling
a story? Canada, man.
Are you literally telling a story about this Canadian girlfriend that we've never met?
Literally, I am. I was excited. I loved breakdancing. And it is the only film I wanted to see. I believe I had other choices, such as Top Gun and Top Secret, but
you made
I can't
the right choice. That. You made the right choice.
And we left, and the girl I was with after the movie, we walked out and said that was a shitty film.
Oh, fully
and you married that girl. The story has to end that way, right?
Like... Sure, why not?
I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been sharing a bunch of images to Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo to our group chat there.
Yeah, we'll get some of these on Instagram for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic, aren't they?
Well, for a movie that was so tailor-made for the VHS market, I mean, certainly there'd be 8,000 different covers because they'd re-release this thing trying to fool you into thinking it was a new movie.
So I'm throwing an 8 on for a number. So
nice.
Me too. I went to this movie opening day with a girl, and
was it in a mall? Did
no.
you bring your skateboard? Because I did.
That's glorious.
I brought my high tops and my hairspray. And anyways, 8. Like, seriously, it's a canon film. The canon film's 8 is the low. Like, that's the bottom. Like, it can only be scored between 8 and 10.
I wish I could disagree with you, but I'm also giving this an 8. Definitely. I think. I mean,
these images I've been sharing.
There's a reason why we've took our name from this. Also, the amazing documentary about Canon Films is also called Electric Boogaloo. It's a little shameless in its but it just does push that musical idea even so much further than
and. It is the greatest title that has ever been on a film, I believe.
Absolutely.
Well, for sure.
And the greatest title for a podcast. So
I mean, what
seriously, look at this. Look, as I continue to share the images, including this t-shirt that I just found that I am definitely ordering. Oh, man. This movie's great.
Again, check out the Instagram because it is an audio podcast. So,
I'm sorry.
Jack doesn't give a rat's ass. He's just.
I do not care. I'm so fascinated by these images. They are mind numbing.
We store all of these images at our website, google.com. So, our next category we call More Heart Than Budget.
Oh man, I really don't know how to score. The thing about this is that everybody seemed really, really into this movie. Like Lucinda Dickey was all in. Like they seemed totally down with making this movie. And it's you know, heartwarming and stuff like that. I don't know how much of a budget they had. I don't know, you know, I mean it's dancing. It's not really that expensive. But it seemed like it was sure they tried. They really tried. So I'm going to go with an 8 on this one.
I'm going to go a little bit lower. It's a little too bad that our category isn't more apostrophes than budget. There's a lot of apostrophes, especially in the credits. But no, I can't. I can only go as high as a 6 because these dancers, I mean, sure, you know what? They try hard. And like that, but they're dancers. What the hell else are they going to do? This was the biggest thing ever, and for dancers at that time, I think, or break dancers. Any there's no professional break dancers at this point. So yeah, I mean, it was a job, and they did it, to the best of their ability. But I don't think anybody really thought this was going to, you know, win anything ever.
This and the original entertained a certain percentage of the audience for a period of time, done with nothing but heart and $20 and a shoestring that they used to tie together the reel of the film when it broke. It's a ton of heart and I think it's a 9.
All right, I think what I do, as I said, I think this movie is kind of like surprisingly wholesome, and it is one of the rare films that was showing a different view of urban life. We had the blaxploitation, and we're about, like, you know, so many films in the 80s and 90s showed this very negative view of life in those communities. And this was like, this is a community coming together. It's people learning dance and mentoring and all
this.
There's
an interracial romance, essentially, in a day when that was very rare. The lead, the male lead, and the female lead are that's something that's like way ahead of its time. And it wasn't even really brought up or they didn't use it as a crutch. It was just kind of organic and natural. That's, to me, another good example.
Yeah, it's not used as a motivator for anyone. Like he doesn't object. He just objects to her, you know, not going to like business school, essentially. Like they're all just symptoms of what he's disapproving of. So I'm going to give this a 9 as well. I think that it's very heartwarming. I teared up near the end when they finally got the money to save their community center.
Well, it was questionable whether or not they would.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they stopped the evil developer, but there was still the question of whether they could, you know, repair everything. So the next category we call what the fuck moments.
I mean, again, if you take it as a musical and you take it with that, then I think that reduces some of the number. When we talk about a lot of the story elements that they just throw in, because I mean, there's no doubt that the hospital scene there, so there's that by itself. There's a lot of what the fuck, but I think that for me the real what the fuck moment was when they decided to go and ape bachelor party by taking it's just like she comes to the house with them and the father has invited her old boyfriend to come and basically be all high falutin and high class to prove a point. And that's exactly the same thing that's in Bachelor Party. And so I'm like, what the hell is this doing here? This makes no sense. And then they don't even refer to it again for the rest of the movie. He just shows up for 5 minutes and then he's gone. And I'm like, what the fuck is that all about?
I could have used some comeuppance for him.
Oh yeah. Oh well, absolutely.
Some sort of like, I don't know, at the end, have him in the dance off or something.
just have him show up and get like maybe taken out by the electro boys or whatever the hell they're called. You know, they take him out and dance on him. But yeah, very strange in that regard. I'm going to give this a 6.
I'm going to go with a 7. There's two main WTFs I want to talk about. Number one, did anyone else notice that both the good guys and the bad guys use the same boombox?
No, that's awesome. That is awesome.
And there is a close-up of the boombox both times. Once in the beginning dance number where they introduce Miracles, somebody presses play on the boombox and they do a dance number. And then again when they start to rumble, you see the finger go down on the same graffitiized boombox. Awesome. So either both gangs have some sort of timeshare on musical devices, or there's a continuity error of epic proportions. The other WTF that I just wanted to quickly mention, what the fuck is with the baby mask?
Oh, yeah. In every
major dance scene, there is just one guy in a monster-ish baby mask just going to town.
Because it looks cool in that mask when you're popping. That's really all it is.
And
seriously.
And perhaps it's that dancer's shtick to wear that mask. Maybe that's what he figured would get him noticed.
I noticed him. I couldn't hire him to do anything if I had that opportunity, but I noticed him, that's for sure.
That's true.
I kind of wanted him to be the rich rich benefactor at the end. Just take off his mask and, why didn't you say you needed some money?
I was here to help you all along. Yeah, you thought you were teaching them, but really they were teaching you.
Maybe he could be the guy with the glasses at the Bureau of City Management or whatever. Surprise, I was here along.
Jack.
Sorry, did he give a score there? I didn't hear.
He did. He started with the score and then went on.
Okay. So. Okay, well, you know what? Again, a canon film, so I mean your floor is 8. that said, it loses a point for WTF tied into musical, but I mean, there's definitely moments there. Let's remember when they're in the house and the rich boyfriend gets introduced and he walks past them and Turbo reaches down and sticks his nose in his back and breathes in for no reason, like smells him in this like deep, and nobody acts or notices anything. And it's just weird. I don't know why that happened. I mean, the dance scene, the fact that the dances are these aggressive, almost fights where if the other side doesn't duck, they will get hit. So it's not really, it really is more like a fight, but it's also a dance. And yet they're playing off each other where they're clearly working together while fighting each other in this choreographed dance. It's very strange. The Ice-T also couldn't be more strange, more so than in the first one. He's out there. He's super aggressive. Ice-T in a PG movie, it's weird anyways. Mm. And then he's just like, the music is closer to his heavy metal sound. And you know, he just looks like he doesn't belong there. So, I mean, it's definitely got them. That said, it's no Ninja 3, which is was a 15, wasn't it? Did I say seven?
Seven. I wasn't sure if you actually got to. Yeah, I think yeah, yeah, yeah. You electric boogaloo slided right past a number there. Okay. the film actually stands up really well. Like it is. We say the phrase "it was a different time" a lot on this show, but this one actually, as we were saying, it's a little progressive at times. There was one thing that definitely stood out for me of "It Was a Different Time" when Ozone, our half black, half Puerto Rican leading man, is gonna get in the Rumble. He's wearing what is clearly a Confederate soldier hat.
What? I didn't know.
Oh, yes, yes.
That's freaking amazing.
Oh, yeah, I did. But I thought it was okay because he was of color.
Well, it's a different time.
Yeah. And it's not a different time. Go ahead.
It's not an actual Confederate flag. It's just like the same type, I thought.
Well, no, I wouldn't say it's the type. It is a copy of a, like, it's not a, I guess it's probably not a museum piece is what you're saying, but it's a Confederate cap. It's a soldier's cap.
It definitely is a reproduction. I would not imagine anyone wearing it for the
I love that that's where you're splitting hairs. it's not like he bought like a period piece. I mean, he just got it from the local Confederate soldier, Army and Navy.
Well, these people spend all their money on drugs and clothes. So
it's just something of the time. I mean, now it would be so out, but I mean, at that point, it was actually like just rebellion, and you could, you know, the biker gangs used all kinds of symbols like that just to be rebellious, just to be shocking. I love that they need to raise $200,000, and the first thing they think of, the first plan is car wash.
Car wash.
Well, I'm wondering if raising $200,000 is this easy. Why they need to just don't do it all the time? I could use some money.
We should organize a street dance festival. Yeah. That's what we should do.
I figure it takes about 6 weeks.
That's right. Yeah. We'll threaten to dance unless people pay us.
Yeah. No problem.
I'm giving this a 7. All right. Our next category is called Memorable Moments.
Well, I mean, for me, this one, it's a tale of two sides. The movie itself is not going to be terribly memorable. I mean, that scene in the house thing with the house rotating and him dancing all over the walls and the ceiling, that's very good, and I will probably remember that. But straight up, I'm giving this an 8 for giving us Electric Boogaloo. It might be a 12, frankly, but I will go with an 8 because the rest of the movie I don't think is that memorable.
Yeah, I think just because I didn't really connect with any of the characters a whole lot. I'll remember this movie as blurs of color and 80s awesomeness, but actual scenes and plot points, and I know this because I've seen this movie multiple times.
he takes his best girls to this movie.
It'll fade next week. I won't really remember the difference between Breaking and Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
I don't really like this movie much. I've seen it multiple times. I've never seen the original.
It's a sliding scale, man. It's a sliding scale.
So I believe I said 6.
Oh, my gosh. I got an 8. The dancing on the ceiling scene, Ice-T himself, the whole movie. Like, these movies are very memorable to me. I remember all memories of them in the past. You know, I definitely Yeah, I they've had a one of the things that for memorable moments is a major qualifier. So I'm going to up it to 9. One of the things in this that is important is what kind of cultural impact they had. And they had a cultural impact as far as making breakdancing from this kind of subculture popularity to a mainstream popularity. These films were very important for that. Plus the term electric boogaloo. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but boogaloo is a term that they made up. Well, it was actually a dance beforehand, but still, nobody had heard of it. And people are still using that word to this day. You probably didn't know that, but people use the word boogaloo for different things to this day. So,
who knew?
I did know that. Yeah.
You did. Okay. So, I mean, when you look at that, the cultural importance of it is very high in addition to the film itself. And I got a 9 unapologetically.
Does remembering the title of a film really make the film memorable?
It's part of the package.
It's such an important, well, hell, it's an obviously important title for us. So, I mean, how do you give it a lower score? Like, the title is just huge.
So you're saying you're going to up it to, you're also going to the 9 now, Sam?
No, I'm staying with the 8 because of the rest of it. It gets points knocked down for the rest of the movie.
Well, I'm going to go back and I think I already want to review Ozone's love tips. Ozone had so much great advice for Turbo about how to win his lady, the lady that did not speak the same language as him.
That's good.
So I mean, those tips of how to properly ignore a woman and walk away from her were also so far ahead of their time. Like, he invented negging, essentially. I love that little moment with the evil land developers trying to bulldoze the center in, you know, again, we're not really sure the timeline of why he's allowed to do this, but he's going to run over the kids anyway. And the guy driving the bulldozer says, "Hey, I came here to do a job, not to kill kids." Which I thought it was bold of him to take a stand. I'm also giving this an 8.
Yeah.
Heartwarming. Our final category is called Crazy Concept.
Oh, I mean, the title's crazy, but I think, as we've discussed, the concept itself is not crazy. The fact that they loaded it up with every concept for every heartwarming movie and bachelor party that you can imagine, that's the craziest thing. But by itself, we've seen this a lot. One.
Oof.
Oh, you are so tough on this movie. I mean, sure, we did see this plot in Ski School 2 before this. Four.
No, I mean, it's not high. But the fact that they made this a full-out musical after it not being a musical, just being a movie about dance in the first one, that adds to the crazy concept of it. So it's still not high because, let's face it, everything's generic as hell. But I'll give it a 3. I will not completely go as I was going to go 1, then I thought about it.
I can't give too much. Definitely they were racing this thing out to capitalize on the first one. I'm going to go with a 4 because they do push further into the like musical, and instead of going, you know, going darker or getting more trying to go for a broader base, they actually narrow the audience to a musical audience. So I dug that. 4 is what I'm giving it. Every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film has one of them. It does have a supporting cast returning. So Turbo and Ozone, and I think a couple of the other dancers as well were
and
in.
Ice-T,
Lucinda Dickey, the evil big gang members, loads of them, loads and loads. Yeah.
Yeah. Lucinda Dickey not being supporting cast, but yes, she is back.
That's true. Well, but Ozone is not supporting cast in the first one then.
Fair enough. I haven't seen the first one, so. I just assumed Lucinda Dickey was the lead there. All right, that gives us a grand total of 66.5 out of 100. Puts it in just about the mid zone, 1 point back from Gymkata and just up from Up the Creek on the Octagon.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I bet. Good. I think if one person might have dragged this one down.
our ultimate scores actually are not that broad a range. So Jim and Jack 36 out of 50 each, Nick 31 and Stan 28. So it's not a giant range there.
Oh, no, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I mean there's points where it's higher and there's points where it's lower, right? Yeah, that's
fair enough.
That's it.
Yeah.
Way to explain math.
Thanks for
that's how
working
that's
out numbers. Statistical variation for me.
Yep. Wait a second, I gotta write this down.
I know.
Apparently that's how numbers work. Who knew?
Okay, I'll repeat it for you here, Jack. We need to optimize your odds of winning and minimize your odds of losing.
Thank you. See, we should package this shit so that we can sell it, because there's money to be made by doing this though. Okay. All right. Well, that's the end of Electric Boogaloo. It's crazy. It seems weird to have actually seen it. There was almost a part of me that felt like maybe I would never watch the movie, but you know, it's I don't think I would ever go back to watch it again. Overall, but hey, I mean, I see the boogaloo of it.
And the next day, Stan died.
I could listen to that soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack was great. Love the soundtrack. I'm all down with that.
I just love the 80s.
All right. Well, next up, we are again shifting gears in our Son of Boogaloo season, and we are jumping over to Captain America 2: Death Too Soon. This is a TV movie, so it's totally, totally different from this one. Although, again, I figure that there's going to be a lot of heartwarming. So
our first TV movie, is it?
Geez, you know,
I think it is.
I think it might be.
Might be.
Was Flesh Gordon TV?
It might have been Cinemax.
Flesh Gordon, yeah.
All right, Jim, tell the folks where to find us. I know where they know where to find us on Instagram,
Preppies.
But
Preppies. Technically
oh.
was
Oh, Playboy TV.
Playboy yeah. channel, but right. technically, yeah.
We are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Everything else, visit our podcast sponsors, WeTalkPodcasts.com, and that's also where new episodes get posted, and it is where you can look at The Octagon, which is the ongoing record of our search. You can search for, if you're a fan of schlock, if you're a fan of crazy concepts, you can sort each category and pull out the top movies in each of the five categories, as well as the grand total. We Talk Podcasts has Twitter and Facebook. You can follow them there, and they'll tell you when new episodes are coming.
Awesome. Well, the new episodes are coming fast and furious because we are crazy and we are boogaloo. All right. So next episode, of course, as we say, Captain America 2, Death Too Soon. And, it's never too soon to watch some Reb Brown. I'll tell you that right now. But, I don't expect anybody.
It's too early to watch Red Band.
you have little faith.
Watching Red Band before midnight, I think there might be a change coming.
Is it like a Gremlins thing? All right. Well, we better get off this show so that we can go watch ourselves some Captain America. So for Jim, for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo!
Yeah. finish you, your friends, and your whole damn neighborhood.
This time there is an enemy, so they must unite. Because to say what you believe in, sometimes you must fight.
You lost your edge.
Try me.
Electric Boogaloo's the greatest, nothing can compete. And once you've seen this movie, you'll believe in the beat. Another good one from Canon.